I mean, when you have a name like Peace Church, and half of the members pull for one and the other half for another, and you've got a few state fans there, Ken. But man, it's tough. And it's in the water around here. I mean, people raise their children from baby clothes on to be haters of one side or another. I'll never forget a bib I once saw that said, "Excuse me for spitting up, I just saw a fill-in-the-blanks fan." I'm omitting the name so as not to offend someone. When we first moved here and basketball season started, I remember being told something. Well, you must choose. You must choose. It made me feel like the guy in the Indiana Jones movie. You know, you must choose, but choose wisely. Okay, maybe I'm joking a bit, but sincerely, it does open a window where we can look at human nature. And we can say and mean, where would we be without Jesus? Because you know how some people get, right? I mean, seriously. But of course, it's always those people, right? It's not us, of course. And maybe I should reword that. You know, let's just go at it this way. Who is it that really gets under your skin? I mean, some people just push your buttons, right? We used to play with this around our house. We had a dog who had a particularly obnoxious temperament. She was the sweetest, fluffiest thing. You may remember our Keyshawn Keisha. She was just, I mean, a prissy little dog, you know. But she had this hatred for squirrels. And she would chase a squirrel to no end. And her breed actually was originally trained to go after rats on ships, and so you can imagine. But anyhow, you know, she chases a squirrel up a tree, and then there's a tarp on the wood pile under the tree, and she shreds the tarp going after it, looking up at the squirrel, as if you're coming down, that's what's happening to you. And we give our dogs voices. I mean, doesn't everyone do that? And so, anyhow, sometimes Keisha would have this tendency of saying a name of someone who was particularly ticking us off at the moment. It was sort of a teaching tool, like, well, we really can't be like Keisha in this moment, you know. It's like, well, she had this little prissy, well, remember so-and-so. Hey, maybe it's someone from your family, or a brother or sister who just sets you off and loves doing it. You know how that is when family gets together and you tend to regress about 25 years in your emotional maturity? Or maybe your spouse, you know, maybe someone, not your spouse, maybe someone just does it and they just don't even see it. They don't even see it. Oh, okay, and let's go toward spouses. I mean, you know, sometimes you find yourself with your spouse getting, I'm meddling, yeah. Sometimes you find yourself with your spouse getting into it about something, and you find, you know, that the reaction is so quick and so visceral, you know, it's like, and, you know, someone who isn't privy to your relationship, you know, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? You ever do that? Chill out a little, you know. When we take an honest look at ourselves sometimes, we see how much, how deeply we need the wisdom of God's word above all. This is our verse for today. Let's read it together. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Peter wrote these words to the entire church. His letter was circulated to believers throughout Asia Minor. It would be Turkey today. And you have to wonder what was going through his mind as he wrote them. I mean, if you remember his story, Peter wasn't always the most loving disciple. Think about the time when this demon-possessed woman comes to the disciples with her daughter, and they can't do anything. Peter's basically, you know, the lead disciple. They can't do anything to help her, and you know, so she's looking for Jesus, and as soon as she comes to Jesus, what do they say? Lord, send her away. You know, get rid of her. She keeps crying out after us. Or think about the night that Jesus was crucified. And think about what happened there, you know, leading up to that. Two of the disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, we have two swords. Is it enough? Well, one of those disciples was Peter. How do we know that? We know that because in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was Peter who took the sword and sliced off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And what did Jesus do? Again, just like he did for the demon-possessed woman, Jesus healed. Peter clearly has Jesus on his mind when he writes these words. Love covers over a multitude of sins. And the word for covers in the original language means to bury, if you will, to completely place out of sight. Whose love does that? This chapter, the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, begins with Peter talking about Jesus' sacrificial death, and there's little doubt that he had that in mind. He's thinking about the night. I would wager, if I were a betting man, that Peter is thinking about the night that he denied Jesus. And then how Jesus came to him later and said, Peter, do you love me? Remember? And he asks him not once, not twice, but three times, do you love me? It's all about love with Jesus. And Peter understood that Jesus' love, like his blood poured out on the cross, covers over a multitude of sins. And the word for love that Peter uses in the original language is a uniquely Christian word, agape, a love that is higher than we are, a love that's of divine origin and comes from God through Jesus. Only the church used this word, and it described this love that meets us in our difficult places and reaches us and flows into us and changes us. So Peter is making the point that we really can love each other deeply because of Jesus. His love that has covered our sins can move through us. If we are saturated with him, and if we remember what he has done for us and stay close. So as we look at living into God's word this week, it helps to follow Peter's train of thought to the same destination. Think of a time in your life. I mean, for me, this just kind of helps as I try to set this up. Think of a time in your life when someone loved you and you didn't deserve it. And maybe you didn't even see it. Chances are, you didn't even see it at the moment. With me, I immediately think of my parents. I think about some of the things that I said, you know, as an adolescent. I think of some of the things that I did. I was blessed with good parents. If maybe you think of that. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was, you know, someone who met you in a difficult place. I mean, isn't it interesting, in mentioning parents, how the older you become, you know, once you basically get out of your teens and start into your 20s, suddenly your parents start to grow in the amount of wisdom that they had all along. You know, you never saw it before. I think that's part of what is going on with Peter here. He's looking back and he's saying, wow, man, I was loved. I was so loved. And there was stuff I was doing Because love is the most beautiful thing about Jesus. God's word sums it up this way, 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And of course, in the Old Testament, you know, the concept of a sacrifice, it was the blood that covered the sins. So it is with Him, except the blood washes us clean. Scripture speaks of the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit that occurs because of Jesus' sacrificial death for us. So we're not just covered, He's changing us inside. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done. And because He has loved us so sacrificially, and His Spirit is at work within us, we can live into that kind of love as well. Not only can we do it, we have to do it if we're His. Remember Jesus' instruction about forgiving others, right? Unless you forgive others, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your sins. And think about Jesus' example from the cross on this. So Peter says, love each other deeply, deeply. But if we're honest, when someone gets under our skin, we don't really want that, do we? I mean, because what's happening is happening on that knee-jerk, visceral level. And that's where we have to go to Him again. We have to go to Him again to let down our guard and admit the depth of our need for Him and realize we have been forgiven much. We have been loved much. Sometimes it takes time to sort this stuff through and let Him quietly help us. We can have good reasons sometimes, right? For feeling the way we do. And sometimes those good reasons can just make us more angry. And then they're not so good. I think of T.S. Eliot's poem, "Where can the word be found? Where can the word resound? Not here. There's not enough silence." He is our deepest need. And we must go to Him and quiet ourselves before Him. As we come to the Lord's table, let's just ask for His help to love. To love deeply in those difficult places. You know where they are. If I could say their name in a high, obnoxious voice, maybe I would, but that might not help. But those places where we have to look at ourselves and say, oh, Jesus, I need You. I need Your help. I need You to love through me because that's how we're loved. But it's this love that goes so deep that it empowers us to do what we could never do on our own. It's an empowering love. And that's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Above all, first priority is the meaning of that. Love each other deeply. love each other deeply. Nobody loves like Jesus. And nobody can help us like that, like he can. Sometimes it's complicated. Yeah. You know, I mean, for example, if you're a person who's been abused, you know, then what do? Put yourself in that place? Oh, only Jesus could show you that. Right? Chances are he wouldn't. Sometimes there are consequences for things that people do. But again, only Jesus can show us. And he does. That's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing, that he lifts us out of ourselves. And with his wisdom and strength, helps us be somehow our better selves. What we were meant to be all along, what we are growing into as the children of God growing up. And that's really cool, because then people can look at it, look at us, and say, "Well, you know, there was a time in my life when I really wasn't very lovable, and she loved me. He loved me. And I know that love didn't come from him. He got it somewhere else. May we pray. This morning, as Paige comes forward to play for just a moment, I'm going to ask, as we're singing, that you could just kind of sing that as a prayer and ask for his love to flow into you afresh. And don't be surprised if you walk out of this place and you immediately get challenged. But just keep coming back. And keep coming back to his love and his presence and his peace. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Father, we thank you for your Son, Spirit, who makes us new. We worship you. Lord, what you do is so beyond us, and our need is so great. Maybe this morning you see your need in a new way, and you look at your life and say, you know, I've never really made my peace with God. I've never really said, yes, Lord, I want that. I want you in my heart. I just come to him. That's his Spirit at work in you now, pointing you to Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. And you just look to him, and even with just a little bit of faith, you say, Lord, I believe in you, and I believe you did that for me, and I receive that. Forgive me, and cleanse me inside. Help me to clean me up, Lord. Help me to make a new beginning so that I'm moving with you forward. And he does. He really does. And it's deeper than feeling. And it's more profound than thought. It is the very presence of God at work within. Let us, as we sit here and worship for a moment, simply ask him to help us love.
face is all I see.